Message, M025, The Ingathering. A word given by Cecil J. DeCille, 27th of January, 1971.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for the privilege which we have. You know, it's a great privilege. The prophets of old desired to have this privilege and never had it. And the angels inquired from God, tell us about this thing, and they just got partial explanations of it. But now all these prophets who wrote all these books coming right down, from Moses coming right down to Malachi, they wanted to know what was really going on, what God was doing, and they only knew a part. But there is a people now who are privileged to know the whole story. And God has given us the bread. He's breaking to us little by little, and according to our capacity to learn, we are going to walk right into the very, very fullness of what God is saying. There are little areas which I notice God has been speaking to you about, areas as it were to bring the thing together. There is not one of us here who didn't have some part of this message. And somehow we seem to have had many parts. When I came into Miami, I had the message, but I didn't know the connection some places. And as I started to consort with the other men like Sam Fife and Buddy Cobb, and we began to sit down all night on it, then I realized, when I told them some of the things which I never told anybody, not even my wife, I told some of the things because they were downright crazy, you know. And they jumped out of the seat and they said, "This brother, you got it." It's, and so as they begin to tell me their little part, it seemed to have made the whole puzzle so complete that I realized that all the rejection that I had been undergoing in the other churches and the other groups and the other people, it is because the people had not come up to a spiritual realm where they could listen and hear and understand. And I tell you, it is a most horrible thing to be in another realm and trying to make a man in another realm understand what you are seeing and hearing and feeling and understanding. And to live in this realm and to be subject to this realm, to have a head over you who doesn't understand what you are understanding, who doesn't see what you are seeing, brother, it is something. Really what you call real suffering. And so for years we had to undergo this, but God has brought a people up in understanding. And I do not know what it must be the time of God. For the people who are saved now, they are being saved with a better understanding than those who were saved many years ago. I've seen boys and girls we picked up off the streets up in San Francisco and tell them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and tell them about the fullness. And that's what they wanted. That's what they were looking for. They didn't know the name of it. They didn't know the feel of it. They didn't know the look of it. They didn't know anything about it. But they wanted this fullness. And when the message came to them, I mean, they're so naive in the understanding of godliness that they were asking us if it's necessary to be married. So you can understand how badly off they were, that they didn't even know that God was against associations that were outside of marriage. So they wanted to know what the Bible said about not being married and having the freedom with the opposite sex. So we had to go on from the basics. But those are the same boys who were accepting the thing away up yonder. Queer church people who've been going on for 20, 30 years couldn't understand it and refuse it and reject it, say, you're crazy, get out of here. So blessed be the God. Tonight we want to speak about the ingathering. The ingathering, the oneness in Christ. Hallelujah. In the past we have been all hurt by different denominations, each denomination putting up a different fence, and each fence is a barrier between my denomination and the other denomination, because of course my denomination is better than yours, and this thing just goes on and goes on. And some denominations say they have the authority from God, and they alone have the authority from God, and they would go through the length and breadth of the earth making proselytes, making converts then, and baptizing them with the same doctrine of division which has been preached for almost 2,000 years now. A doctrine of division has been preached among the people. Now blessed be to God, now that God has brought us into the time of the seventh church. You heard what I said. We are in the time of the seventh church as far as God's time plan is concerned. But most of us are not in the seventh church. As a matter of fact, none of us are in the seventh church. And a few of us are in the sixth church. If we have the man child within us, and if we are overshadowing the man child, then we are the sixth church overshadowing the seventh. For those who weren't here, let me just explain what I mean. There were seven pieces of furniture in the Ark of the Covenant, in the tabernacle. And the seventh piece was the Ark of the Covenant. And the sixth piece was the mercy seat that was on top of the Ark of the Covenant with two cherubims covering it over. This is an emblem or a type of the woman in Revelation who was pregnant, overshadowing a boy baby. She had 12 stars on her head. That is, her power was the glory of God, which were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. She had the power of the apostles on her head. She was clothed with the sun. That means the glory of God covered her nakedness, was her righteousness. Amen. She had on her feet the moon. The old order church was her foundation on which she stood. Amen. And she had it on the feet. And she cried in pain to travail. Travailing to bring forth, I should say. And this church is this body. But not experientially. Amen. Not experientially. We are this body because of God's time plan. Because we know that God is going to use this people who have been resurrected from the world order into the new order, that God is using this people to bring forth another church that will not be a woman church but a man-child church. Amen. So we know that this church therefore is this woman. We definitely know. But experientially we have not been walking in the apostolic power. We have not been that glory of God which God wants us to be. Clothed with the sun. We have not got this moon on our feet. For some of us are still struggling in and out of the old order system and the new order. So then, as a people, we are yet still scattered because of the impact of the world and the old order church outside here. So you see what I'm saying? That positionally, as far as God's time program is concerned, we belong to the sixth church. Actually, it is God's time. And somebody said, I don't know how God's going to move us into it so fast. But brother, it seems to me as if God will have to do something very quick and very sharp, very fast, to bring these people into a realm to please him. But there is one scripture that gives me hope. He said that he will do a quick work in a short time. He said, another word, that if he did not shorten the time, that no flesh would be saved. But he said, for the elect's sake, he will shorten the time. This brings to my mind the thought that God is saying that even the elect, if he gives us too long a time, we would slip into complacency also as the other people. Yes. God is saying that he's going to do a quick program right through. And a nation shall be born in a day. So that we won't even have time to disrupt the program of God by our own vacillations and our own taciturn nature. But that God Almighty is bringing forth something within us. And today we had this beautiful scripture bringing forth something to my mind. And you know a thing, but sometimes when God speaks, it implants the thing so firmly in you that it is as if you had not known it before. That we are going to enter in by love, one for another. And God said, if ye love me, keep my commandment. And God said, how do you know that you love me? If you love your brother. Then he said, how do you know when you love your brother? Amen. He said, when you lay down your life for your brother. It was so sweet that God brings the thing down in such a beautiful order. One thing I've learned as a teacher is that the human mind is so built that anything that you're going to teach anybody, you have got to teach them in order. The mind cannot pick up anything that is not put in order. So if you come and going to give a message, and God gives you a beautiful message to give, and you give one piece up there and give the end down and give a piece in the middle and a piece on the tail, you will not get anybody understanding what you're saying. But if you put the thing in just the chronological order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you understand it very easily. 1, 5, 4, 3, 2. It's harder to get that than to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so we find God dealing with us, even according to the knowledge that God has pertaining to our mental makeup. Since he made us, he must know how to deal with us. So God deals with man in this order. And praise be to God, as I see, as you read the beautiful, reasonable progression of the words in John chapter 15 coming right down, how do you know that you love one another? How do you know that you love God? Because you love one another. How do you know that you love one another? Because you lay down your lives for one another. And then he said, I and the Father will dwell with you, because the Father will love you because you love one another and you lay down your lives for one another. And here we come, the togetherness, the coming together of the church, the coming together of the body of Christ. It's a thing that we all long for, and we tried it by organization and it never worked. We tried it by membership and it never worked. We tried it by doctrines and it never worked, because the people were holding the same doctrines and fighting one another just the same way. But the only way we are going to accomplish it is by this love. He said, if you walk in the light of his love, as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us. That means when we started walking, we weren't clean. But as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we'll have fellowship one with another, then we will be cleansed from all our unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Walking in the light, then being cleansed by fellowship. Praise be to God. I want us to turn to Genesis 49 and verse 10. Praise God. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Amen. Unto Jesus shall the gathering of the people be. Therefore, we only need to point people to Jesus, to the Christ, for the gathering is going to be unto him. Let's turn to Psalm 147 and verse 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. God gathers the outcasts of Israel. Let's go back to Isaiah. And we take 54:3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Praise God. Let's read 56:8 or 55:5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knowest not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Let's take 56:8 now. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, said, Yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. Let's take 50, we have 60 and 5. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And more promises there. Let's read verse 22. Don't want to read too much. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Praise God. Let's turn around now to Ephesians. Chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Praise God. Some people wanted to know what happens to those people who die and were part of the church. God Almighty said he is gathering together not only natural human beings, but the spirits are gathering together with us. Amen. Is that hard for you to believe? That there is a spirit or spirits of ingathering in our midst. What I am preaching to you, I'm only preaching to you because the Lord tells me that he has told you already. You already know that the oneness in the body of Christ is a spirit of God going forth among the spirits and among us, telling us to get together and making us just look at one another and love one another. Amen. You walk out the street and you don't know a person from Adam, and you and you walk, you just see that person and there is something going out towards the person. He might be in the opposite camp from you. He might be against your way of life, your thought, yet there is something within you that makes a contact out there. You can with safety minister life to such a person because it is the God within you reaching out to the God within him. Amen. Whether he knows he has God or not. Some people really don't have God and yet you love them. But there is some mark on them. Like that old coin. You remember the coin that the woman lost? It had the stamp of the king on it. Amen. It was lost, but it had the stamp of the king on it. And when you walk and you see a coin with the mark of your daddy on it, you can claim that coin. It belongs to your country. The flag on the other side that you can't see is your flag. Your country is marked on it, all over. Amen. And that coin will never have any value until it is safely in the pocketbook of somebody who can spend it. It must be in the country where it is to be spent. Blessed be to God Almighty. I wish you could understand me without my having to tell you what I'm saying. I am saying that for 20 years I walked in a realm where I could not be appreciated. My ministry was dirt. They didn't want it. I was cast in pearls before swines and get my skin torn off. Because the swines trampled the pearls and they tear me. I was wondering, why is God against me? I had not been moving with God's chosen people. And because of this thing, many of us are walking in realms where we can be of no good to the people whom we are walking with. We can't give them the ministry that God is giving us. If you get a vision and a dream and you tell them, they would persecute you like what Joseph's brother did with him. Sell him. And many of us, may God help it not to be so, many of us may end up in the asylum because we told the wrong person a dream. The time is coming when if you say you are a prophet or you have the word of the Lord, they will put you in prison for it. Amen. Amen. You dare not talk your dreams. I can't remember exactly now where I went and found some poor sister getting her dreams and telling these people, and they have her haul and pulling her up and down to the psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist, like one of those birds in Leviticus 11, blind as a bat, he was there giving her all kinds of treatment to get rid of her dreams that God was giving her. She wanted to carry the dreams to the right place. And she was there wondering if something is wrong with her up and down psychiatrist. Amen. Maybe they would soon lock her up in an asylum because she was having dreams and visions. And this is the sort of thing I'm talking about. In the dispensation of the fullness of time, God is gathering together into one. Amen. In Matthew 13, we read, I won't return to it, we read of the parable of the man who had planted good seed in his vineyard, and when his servant came, he said, the tares are growing out, sir, shall we go out and root the tares up? He said, no, let them remain till the day of harvest. And when the day of harvest came, the tares couldn't bring forth anything. The wheat alone brought forth. And the tares couldn't bring forth anything. And he sent in his reapers now. He said, now, all those that brought forth nothing, root them up. Bundle them for the fire. So we find that we are in the days of harvest. We are in the days of harvest. Right now the fields are ripe and ready to harvest. And they are being harvested. Only that some of the angels that are helping in the harvest are the demon spirits that are causing people to go into groups and into bundles and into denominations and into parties, political, economic, social, religious. Amen. But these bundles are being bundled together for the fire. Amen. And God is leaving his wheat in the field, and they will be gathered and put into the garner for the great harvest of God. Where are you? Are you in a bundle? Or are you in gathering? Where are you? Now you've just got to decide. Because I know some people don't know where they are, and when the fire is light, they'll be running between the bundle and the harvest and the garner. And they're likely to get burnt. Amen. This is what God is showing us, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he'll gather together into one his own people. Praise God. I want you to turn with me. We're going to leave Ephesians here for a while. Or let's just finish with it. Turn your page over to Ephesians 3 verse 8 we begin with, and unto me, Paul speaking here, unto me also who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you is that if we knew about the coming together in the past, this revelation at this time is something greater than what we had known in the past. And you will see this when we come to the end of this word which God has placed in my soul. You will see that it is absolutely something more than what we have been used to as far as coming togetherness is concerned. For when men think of coming together, they usually think of one man coming together with another man, and people coming together and sitting together and believing the same thing and praising God together and preaching together. But this togetherness, this oneness which Christ Jesus is speaking about, is a oneness of not only soul but spirit. Amen. A oneness of spirit and soul which amalgamates a people, so that no matter where you are. Amen. I was just speaking to Rusty this afternoon about the way God showed me the operation of the Spirit. That you go out, you leave this place, and we don't see you, and you fall into some trouble, and you say, God help me, and the angels that are around you rush off and they strike the body, 10-15 of us same time. You come right up in our minds and say, we have enough understanding in the Spirit what to do. Immediately we pray. And as we pray, there's a quickening force that goes forth, and suddenly you are out of your trouble. And you don't know how it happened, but the angels of God move so fast that they move out of time and out of space. They don't move through space to come to me. They don't move through time to come to me. But I was in you all this while, and you were in me all this while. And when you shouted, I heard it. There is something greater in the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because something more personal, something beyond our finite minds to comprehend. He said, you in me and I in you. No longer calling to you, no longer sending to you, but I feeling a part of your feeling, knowing a part of your sorrow, your joy. Amen. Sharing in a spirit that is a oneness spirit between us. Abana Shakata. And Joel comes before me. And he said, none can fall. He said, if one fall, the other picks him up. The army of God. Amen. There is no dying, no destruction for this army. It is a victorious army that is going on from victory to victory. God is moving us into position. Amen. Before he anoints us with absolute power. Amen. Moving us into understanding before he anoints us with power. Isn't that wisdom? God anoints you with power and you don't know what to do with it. You start flashing it around until it hurts somebody. But moving you into position, and when he gets his army positioned, he anoints them. Amen. With the anointing of power. Hallelujah. So we understand that we are moving into a oneness wherein we will speak a word of life, not from our own souls, but from your souls. Amen. Amen. Do you hear what I've said? Did you hear? That we are going to speak from one another's souls. Amen. I didn't have the faith. I didn't have the strength. But somehow the body had the strength. And the body had the faith. And the body moved. And I got lifted. Because there's a oneness and there's a body all over the world will be reaching out night and day. Hallelujah. A people that come into oneness. He said, to make all men see this great mystery, the mystery of unity which we had never seen before. Verse 10, to the intent, there is a reason for it, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Where? To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We would think it were the way around about. We would think that the principalities and powers in heavenly places are going to teach us. Isn't that what we thought? that the principalities and powers in the heavenly places would be teaching us. But you read it again, and it says that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't you see, this is the will of God, that we should bring knowledge and understanding to the heavenlies. Let me show you what I mean. In the heaven of heavens, where God dwells, in the highest heaven, God dwells in thick clouds, insulate himself, shut off himself. Bible said God dwells in thick darkness. God has to prevent his glory bursting out upon his beings. It's too powerful, it's too much for them. Therefore, the mighty angels, Michael, Gabriel, and all those occupy the second realm of heaven, and they receive God's will, God's orders, and they pass it down to the third heaven, where Paul went and saw all the workings of God, and they pass it down to us down here. So we find that because of Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, man must receive the message first. Then the principalities and powers in heavenly places get the message, get the lesson. God used this to show us on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elias came down from the third heaven. They wanted some lessons. They wanted some understanding pertaining the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Yet Matthew knew it. Mary knew it. Mark knew it. John knew it. Peter knew it. Jesus had called the 12 disciples, explained to them his death, explained to them his burial, explained to them his resurrection. And Moses didn't know. And Elias didn't know. They had to come down to inquire. The Bible said the angels desire to look into the matter. What is that? First Peter? Let's check it. Praise God. And it's chapter 1. First Peter, chapter 1, and it's verse 10th verse. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Amen. So the prophets who prophesied the thing didn't understand it. Moses, who prophesied all about Jesus, didn't understand it. But he had to send, they had to send a deputation down to Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration to find out from him what or what manner of time or what and how this thing should have gone. So we find that we are a privileged people, for we are on the other side of understanding now. We have received all this fullness from God. Let us turn to Ephesians 3. Let's take 4. We just finished with 3. Let's take 4. And we start from verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. I am sure many of us have read that little piece of scripture and never understood what it meant. As I was reading, I got light on this word, that Paul is here speaking by the Holy Ghost of the man, the Christ that should descend into you. He is speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ. He said the same one that ascended is the same one that is descending. You watch it, check it over. You see? And when, if you notice, he said ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all in all. He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. That is, after he descended, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting. Why? Why did he give them all this? Only one reason, only one thing God counts as valuable in the earth. And you're going to hear it now. For the perfecting of the saints. Amen. Glory to God. For the perfecting of the saints. Brethren, if you're going to preach a gospel, and you're not going to preach a gospel to perfect men, may God Almighty have mercy on you.
Yes.
Amen. If you are preaching healing, if you are preaching abundant life, whatever you are preaching, let it be to perfect men, to bring men up in the goodness of God. For if preachers continue preaching and congregations are not rising towards the preacher, then it means that the preaching is in vain. For the congregation is to be like the preacher was, and the preacher is to be like Jesus is. In other words, there must be a progression, and the congregation will want to catch up with the preacher if he is preaching right. For this is the will of God. He said he appointed the fivefold ministry. I don't know if you believe it, but if you don't believe it, may God have mercy on you. Amen. May he have mercy on you. It's right here. And if my body is the temple of the living God, then my body has written in it the whole message of Almighty God. You better believe it. If this body is the temple of God, this body has the whole message of Almighty God written in it from A right down to Z. Alpha and Omega. And I tell you why. The temple, I had it difficult to say the Z. I know you're laughing at me. Praise God. Yeah, the temple at Jerusalem had everything in it, the whole message of God written in it. Go back and read the temple and you will see. If any of you here has been ever a lodge man, the Masonic lodge, when they build a house, they have a message written into it. You can walk on that house and you see the door. You say, it's Christ, so many steps up to the door. You see three or seven steps up to the door. You see the 12 apostles. They put in the windows and everything they fix like that because they claim that they are builders after Solomon. Now, Solomon, therefore, built the temple as a message. You could look at the temple and read the message. Everything in the temple. And I will just go a little further just to tell you that he really did that. When he went into the Holy of Holies, he made the angels, the overshadowing angels, touch the ceiling with size. The little things that were on top of the ark, he expanded them to touch the ceiling and touch one another and touch the whole wall, and the wall was 30 cubits wide. Sonship and a complete overshadowing. They were overshadowing the whole temple. Amen. So getting back to what I was saying, I was reading here, the apostles, the fivefold ministry. Yeah, I was telling you about the temple. And if my body is the temple of the living God, then it seems to me that a message is here. A message is here. And I'm not going to go too far with it, but I'm just going to read a little of the message that I see here. I see two eyes, and they are telling me that God's will for me is unlimited discernment. I go outside here and I lift my eyes to the sky and I see millions of light years away. Just by looking up. No glass, no nothing. Just looking. And the bigger the object and the brighter it is, the further I'll see. So God is saying to you, just by that one set of eyes you have there, that his intention for this temple is unlimited vision. Amen. He gives me five senses to perceive my environment. And these five senses are the emblem of five spirit gifts of discernment working in the church. I can smell, but I never smell a sound. I've got to hear it. Amen. And I can hear, but I can never feel a sound. I've got to hear it. You see what I'm talking about? And so God put all these to show you the different types of discernment that are in the church. He gives you right them right in your body, so you don't have to go to read Bible or to ask anybody what is feeling or what is seeing or what is hearing or what is smelling or what is tasting, because all these are built in your computer. You exactly know what they are. Then he gave me two hands. And God could have made man with one hand, or maybe four. Four hands would probably do more. You know what I mean? But God made you with two hands because this is part of his plan. Your two hands represent the spirit ministry and the natural ministry. And when they work together, they do mighty work. Mighty work together. And the five fingers represent the fivefold ministry. If you don't believe it, you don't even believe your own body. Yes, you don't even believe your own body. And so we go right back here. We see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Now a comma is there, and you ask the question, why are the saints being perfected? For the work of the ministry. God wants them to work. God wants the church to be a living body, to be a working, living body. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what he wants. Amen. Till we all come, apostles, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and saints, six of us now, till we all come into 12 by 12. Amen. That's what it means. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. My God, don't you see what is killing us is that we don't know Jesus. When we all come in the unity of knowledge, like how I drew on the board and show you that the Christ man is coming forth within your being. When we all come to the understanding that the Christ man is coming forth within our being, we stop tearing one another. Edifying. Till we all come. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Not two men, but one man. Till all of us come to one man. And as the sister told us yesterday, when I said man, when I said him, till we all the saints, and they refer to him with one pronoun, and instead of them, the Bible said him. She said, my Bible said them. And before I knew what I said, the Bible was trashed. But that Bible she had changed him to them, because they figure in their heads that it shouldn't be him, it should be them. Now you bet they changed this too. Instead of coming to a perfect man, they might put come unto perfect men, which would be entirely out of order. Yes. The Greek here definitely shows the singular, and that we are coming into a one-man company. We will be one man, you know why? We will have one spirit. And the thing that causes men to work contrary is contrary spirits. Yes. Amen. But if we all have one spirit, then we will work as one man together. Amen. A perfect man unto the measure. Now isn't this beautiful? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. Amen. To the measure of the stature, the height, the width of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He's talking about some of our preachers who use the best method of psychology on you, who chop you with a piece of psychology here from out of the book. Then he throws the whole book at you and knock you down flat. Take away your goods. He said, we no more be children tossed about by the sleight of men and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Amen. Oh, good God, bless you. Amen. Let's go on into the negative part. Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. So you see, even in his time, even in the time of Paul, some people were going on carrying the name of Christ and walking in uncleanness. Praise be to God. Now, I want to get you over to another scripture. Praise God. I'm hoping you're not yet tired of me. Praise God. Amen. Let's read the second Timothy, I mean. And chapter 1 and verse 9 to 10. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. How on earth did you make it? How did you get it before the world began if you weren't here? Amen. He said, God gave you this grace by his own purpose in Christ Jesus before the world began. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus was before the world began. And we were in him as an integral part of him. in his lines, spiritual lines. Before the world began, we were a part of Jesus. Not the uncircumcised man, not the unsaved man, not the sinner man. He was in Adam. But we have come into Christ Jesus by inheritance. We have been birthed into Jesus. Therefore, the seed that is in us, that now forms our souls, has been with Christ Jesus even from before the beginning of the world. He said here, but it's now made manifest. It's come out to light now. Now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. Not will abolish death, but in the realms of heaven, death is already abolished, and it's only waiting to see its manifestation on earth. That's why we know it's done already. Christ Jesus abolished death, bring life and immortality to light. Amen. Thus what we are dealing with tonight is immortality, not death. Turn with me to John chapter 17. We start from verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus praying to the Father was praying for us who sit here tonight, that they all may be one. I want you to watch this very much. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, my God. Jesus was explaining a principle which it is difficult for us to conceive. Listen what he said. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus was asking not for Father, Son, and Holy Ghost anymore, but for Father, Son of Man, Son Jesus, and Holy Ghost. Jesus was asking God to change the Trinity into a foursome. Amen. They sit here. Yet I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. My God, Jesus here is revealing the exaltation of man into the Godhead. It's worthwhile suffering for. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. He's going to explain again, you know, there is a colon there at the word one. I in them, thou in me, they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He still isn't finished here. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where was he? Where was he? Brethren, the people who are preaching that heaven is some place on some star out in the Milky Way, they had better read their Bibles a little more. For Jesus said that they may be with me where I am. And he was standing right there before them, but he was dwelling in heavenly places with the Father, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Praise God. Now let me show you what Jesus said. He said, let me stay here. He said, all right, let's go back over it. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, Father, in me, where are we now? Yeah, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Thus Jesus, he was saying that even as he, as a matter of fact, he is, Father is in him, and he has the Christ in him and the Holy Ghost in him, so also he wants the man to be in him, and he, Christ, in man. And I was trying to draw it, but I don't even see how to draw it, because I would have the only way I could draw it is drawing a bottle in the water filled with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the, you know, the water representing the Holy Ghost, and the bottle inside of the water, and the water inside of the bottle. Amen. Because there is something even graver than that which he said here. He said that they all may be one. That means that we may be in one another. Yes. Amen. So that when God thinks, he thinks through your minds. When God moves, he moves through your mind. When heaven moves, amen, everybody jump up. Because heaven moves, we move. The same Spirit moving through the sons of God. And this is a oneness that is difficult to understand. A oneness so vast, so great, that anywhere your brother is, you feel him. Anywhere your sister is, you feel her. Anywhere the sons of God move, you know. Amen. And the perfect confidence in your God and in your brothers, because they are in God. Amen. God said, don't trust men. In the psalm, we see that we must not put our trust in princes. But blessed be to God, we can put our trust in the God in our brothers. Amen. When you behold the God in your brother, don't let another man deceive you and tell you what your brother is. This man come and say, your brother is a skunk. I said, boy, you have cursed God. My brother is Jesus. He cannot sin. I wonder if you understand what I'm talking about. You dare not sin. You come here and chop my head off, and I will go and testify that you didn't do it.
Yes, amen.
I know it's the devil.
Amen.
No brother of mine is going to chop my head off.
Amen.
He's just not going to. He can't do it. He just can't do it. It has got to be something else that did it. And this is what we are fighting for. To deliver our fellow men out of the hand of our enemy. This is what we are fighting for. Before we begin to understand the nature of God, we begin to understand the nature of man, and we begin to understand why John the Beloved wrote down in 1 John that they cannot sin, for the seed of God is in them. For years I couldn't understand what he was talking about. He's telling me they cannot sin, and I see them galloping up and down in sin. Amen. Amen. And the Bible is still telling me they cannot sin. And men make a little theory to circumvent it. But the truth is, that which is born of God, brother, it's not going to sin. It cannot sin. It does not want sin. It hates sin. If the flesh man fall down, it's going to pick him up back. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, it is impossible for me to believe anything bad about my brother. Amen. And I will continue to believe that it is my duty to deliver him from the hand of the devil. Praise God. Jesus prayed that we may be one, even as he, Jesus, and the Father art one. Do you know what he was saying? I look at this young man and I see his body, but I know he's spirit, soul, and body. Well, we are going to be one, just like he's one.
Yes. Amen.
Not two people. We are going to be one like how God is one. Not two people. Not three different people.
Yes.
Like we used to say in the old church, three loving spirits never disagree, world without end. Amen. Not three loving spirits who never quarrel. Amen. But one God who sent forth himself in his Son, who sent forth himself in the Holy Ghost, who sent forth himself in a million spirits out there. Amen. One loving God. And this is what God's talking about. We are going to be one people in one God, and it is impossible to think, but we believe it. Praise be to God. God bless you in Jesus' name.
This is the end of message, M.O. 25, The Ingathering.